Hello, everyone. Welcome to the JT Fox Podcast Network here. Normally, we interview billionaires, some of the world's most successful people, some most successful entrepreneur. But today is nine figure versus nine figures. And it's interesting because a lot of people will say, why are you on social media if you have so much money? Well, today, my guest is a person who I saw a video on social media, DM'd, I think like 10 minutes later, messaged me back. I was in Australia. So speed of implementation. Turns out he does one of the things that I do, which is buying and selling companies for a big exit now with Adam Coffey. And we pretty much, I knew exactly going back and forth, like that we're going to know each other and we're going to have a relationship just on that. But, you know, he's successful. I'm successful. We're both on social media. And that's how we met. Because whether you like it or not, successful people do scroll on social media. And that's why we have the great Derek Fay. How are you, Derek?
My friend, thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
So I really don't know your story. I purposely didn't want to do any research other than some of the videos I watched on your Instagram, because obviously, and you and I just talked like 3 minutes before, because then it gets boring for you and I. But before I do that, obviously you are extremely successful. And the video that caught my attention, and I get to this as well, is you talked about getting into like a business partnership and the deal's about to close, a partner screws you, and then another, it's all piling on and everybody's screwing you. I lost a ton of money. And then on one hand, you said like, I'm glad it kind of happened, which I didn't agree with that part, but I could relate to everything else because it's happening more and more now. And I find that, like, to me, loyalty is the most important quality, but most people are loyal to the opportunity. They're loyal to, you know, to the money, or the people that you think are loyal the most and matter the most to you, actually you find out they're the least loyal. And there's this expectation. So let's just talk about that story, because that hit me. And I think only people with money could relate to that story. And if someone watched that and say, that's never happened to me, you haven't done enough business. Because it happens more time.
And that's indicated in the split in the comments. If you read the comments below the story,
I never read what the peanut gallery reads, because it's always like, it's always usually hate or someone criticizing you and or spam that Instagram does a horrible job controlling.
That's horrible. So a little caveat, when I say I'm glad that it happened, I am not glad that a massive.
Well, explain the deal. Like, explain it just a little bit. The deal. Just I don't even know the whole deal. So I want to know. Okay. I want to feel better about my day by hearing your problems.
I like that. You and I are going to be long friends.
That, right? Because all we hear is people are all positive. I'm like, dude, tell me your problems. You're like, you want problems? And I'm like, feel better about my problems.
Here we go. So, okay. So COVID era, 2020, a vendor of mine, because I built one of the largest gym chains in the state of Florida through 2019, sold it to Town Sports International.
What was it called?
Round the Clock Fitness. Yep. So sold that in 2019, highest multiple for TSI ever. I've got other companies I'm invested in and building. But just like, you know, I'm an opportunistic guy. So a vendor comes to me and says, hey, one of the largest distribution companies in the beverage, soft goods, a niche, not the biggest distribution company in the world. You're talking Amazon level, right? But in this niche, $1 billion company. They're going bankrupt. They're filing for bankruptcy. Now, ultimately, that means a restructuring. But because it came on so fast, they had to let all of their employees go without any information on whether they were going to be rehired. So one of the, not founders, but one of the people that had worked for that company for over 15 years came to me and said, hey, I have an idea. I'm not sure what it looks like. And so what it looked like to me was an opportunity to very quickly build a competitive distribution company. So the day that happened, I said, let's do it. Over the course of 5.5 to 6 months, I put up 7 warehouses, hundreds of trucks, hundreds of employees, and started taking market share from the largest distribution company in that space. Now they're going through the restructuring. I reach out to them and say, you know, I'd rather go at this together than separately. That's always my play, even when I come into new companies, is who's the bigger guy? Let's see if we can JV, get bigger, and get out. They agree, so we start going through that process. Everything's good. All the due diligence is done. Legal due diligence is the last thing. Everything's good. Sitting at my desk a couple weeks before the merger is going to be solidified, all the employee structuring, all the downline, everything is perfectly done. I see some papers on my desk, and I notice that there's a signature that is not my signature. But it sure as hell is my name. And so one of my associates, not partners, employees, signed somewhere in the neighborhood of about 14 personal guarantees on my behalf. So I have a fiduciary responsibility, not to mention I don't sign personal guarantees in corporate environments, well, at least very rarely, like yourself, I'm sure. Certainly not in this case. And so now I've got some of the biggest vendors in the world that have my personal guarantee, and we have tens of millions of dollars worth of their products.
But not no, what's the law say before they put it in context to understand that if an employee signs, it's actually an act of fraud. You didn't sign it. Are you still, maybe morally, because it's your company, you know, it is, but legally, are you responsible?
So long picture, no. Short picture, no one gives a shit. Short picture is, I own the company, you have my product, I've got your name, I didn't do anything wrong, fuck you, right? Yeah. Which, roles reverse, I get it. And so some of them work with me. Some of them said, send me a nine-figure check or eight-figure check. Some said, we're coming to get our inventory. And so I'm battling against getting through this without upsetting this really, really meaningful merger, which would have meant about $300 million in equity.
What product did they sign a guarantee for?
So beverages, soft goods, hard goods. So this was in the, I don't want to say just fitness space, but Dick's Sporting Goods, fitness centers across the country. So all the things you see in coolers, whether you drink it or eat it, it was all those products.
So aren't you just a logistic passing on? Like, you're supposed to deliver it. So how are you on the hook for that product? Like, why don't you just deliver it to them?
Because we took the products on terms. We sell to our customers.
Arbitrage.
Customers pay us between 30 and 90 days out. So they're exactly right. And that's the business. And that's okay at scale. Cash intensive at the beginning, but at scale becomes very, very lucrative. So worked through the majority of these issues one way or the other. The big, big giant vendor looked at me, not literally, but figuratively looked at me and said, we don't care. We're filing a lawsuit today. And so literally two days later, I got a lawsuit on Christmas Eve. Now, lawsuits, as you know, no big deal. Yeah. Great Christmas present, but you know, but absent the merger being so sensitive, okay, big deal. It's a lawsuit. We'll work through
it. What's the amount?
Seven figures.
Okay.
So,
which
again,
you could have technically written that check.
Just written the check. But what happened was that triggered the legal due diligence, which had already occurred, as it should.
Then they smelled,
right? They smelt blood in the water, so to speak. They said, we're pulling back. And over the next 60 days, things just literally fell apart. Just one
stressing?
Of those.
Are you stressing? Are you having trouble sleeping? Are you stressing about this? I mean,
so this seems
like,
so
disfeeled.
This
like
seems
a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and this statement is going to seem disingenuous, but I think you more than anyone will understand it. Internally, abso-fucking-lutely was I stressed to the max, but externally, my job to my peers, my employees, my partners, my family, I don't feel I have that luxury. And it's for me too, right? Now, at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was by myself going to the bathroom, was I feeling it? You better believe it. But come 7 o'clock in the morning, I've got work to do. All that does is take me off my game. And so that is a mechanism I think that's learned over time, but it is absolutely present in me. And I have no doubt that it is in you and a lot of high level entrepreneurs. And so that imploded or exploded, however you want to view it. And then the shitty part that came along with that was, well, I had invested about $13 million of my own dollars, so that was gone. $300 million of equity, which was guaranteed mine, was literally a week away. But then some of my other partners thought, hey, we've got an idea. Maybe he is too preoccupied, or maybe he may not have the financial ability to do this, so let's make some moves and try to push on, hey, we're deciding we need to scale, we need your pro rata amount of this, so just a lot of dirty stuff. They didn't sue me. I went after them. And so I'm not glad that happened, but here's what I'm glad at, because there's a lesson in everything, no matter
how hard it may be. People suck.
Well, that's a lesson I learned a long time ago. So that's no news. That's no new news. And they don't suck. They just don't know any better. Big difference.
Well, every problem I have is a first name and last name. It sounds like your problem had a first name and last name too.
It sure did. And that person, by the way, admitted it in writing.
Did you go to the police?
Our attorney handled everything. The larger lawsuit is still pending, which is the only reason I haven't.
But signing your name would be criminal. That's a criminal offense.
Correct. It is fraud.
So did you go after him or did you go in civil fraud?
Until it's cleared up, that's all that's on the table.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so
what's the lesson?
What did I learn? I learned, and this took me a minute to put together, because at first, the pain that I thought I was feeling was, I thought, a financial pain. What I realized was that it was actually a betrayal pain, but more than that, I feel it was my fault. Here's why. My ego was too big for myself. I didn't have my eye on every single inch of that corporation like I generally do. And why? Because, you know what? My name's on it. Look at what I've done so quick. Here I go again. And I took my eye off of some of the shit that I shouldn't have delegated. And I get kicked in the teeth. Now, you and I can sit down and have a drink and talk about how, yeah, that maybe isn't right. But there's no way for me to recover from a loss like this without saying that to myself.
Of course, because if not, you're going to repeat the same mistake twice.
That's you're damn right.
And you're going to do it again. And I'm the same way, too. Like it's just, I have five stories like that, too, if you want.
Yep.
But the interesting part is that what people don't understand, the reputation capital is that's like more important than financial capital, because all you have is your name, your reputation, your credibility in the age of the internet. And you're always the bad guy, especially when you make money.
Agreed.
The issue is you trusted people, you know, which brings it to another fact. And I heard you say this, and that I'm invested into other things. And so for me, I was pretty much in control before the pandemic, on top of everything, traveling the world, all that. And during the pandemic, I sort of switched my model, but like, you know, I'm going to give people money, right? Instead of, I'm not going to take your money, I'm going to give you my money. And I gave
me too.
Tens and tens of millions of dollars. And I learned a valuable lesson that when I deal with people that have less than me, it's like over the moon, everything, you know what I mean? Like I deliver, you need money on this day, I deliver. And then when it's their turn to deliver, it's always an excuse, right? And it's never their fault. And then they make you look the bad guy, which ends up being dramatic as well. In terms of in investing in other people, like I'm gonna give you money, you go out there, just let me know my check, because it's not me, my DNA, just not to do anything because I'm an improver. I can see things. How do you now view that this happened and your view about investing in other people, knowing that, you know, you're really good at what you do. There's only so much we can do, but you're right. When you miss the details, I completely relate to that. Cause I missed some details too. Never lost money. Now I did like 1,000 deals, never lost money one time. And I'm losing money now. Nothing that I did. I trusted, I sent the money. I'm told it's being worked on. It's all great. And then I do surprise visits. What is going on here? Like, right. Like, this is like you said, it was like almost done. It's nothing is done. Like it just, whether it's properties or deal or due diligence. And at the end of the day, you know, the customer, the partner, they don't care about how good your excuse is. And so what's your take on that now at this point in your life about investing in other people where you don't have control?
Well, let me tell you this. It's shocking how similar our stories are, because I literally was that guy. And then something happened during COVID. And I just thought, I'm going to start handing out money. and because it's my money, it's going to have more value than other people's. And they're going to respect it. And they're going to perform. And
listen, you know, I'm going to leave. You just keep talking. And they won't know whose story it is. And then we'll just blur out the voices and like, which story is talking? It's exactly what I did. And especially, too, I was on top of the world. The pandemic is there. You're sitting on a bunch of money.
That's
there's
right.
More time. Because you can't go anywhere. So you're like,
right. So let's change everything that got us to where we are and then do that.
No, but I think I need to go back. What I was just saying, this conversation, all weekend I got back from Australia, I was dealing with a problem. And it's like a problem that like you're dealing because you don't have control about it. And you're just dealing with such unreasonable people. And, you know, or you did a favor. Like I did a favor to somebody during the pandemic. And this is a celebrity, right? Big name celebrity. Needed a favor. And I'm like, all right, I need you to do this for me. Oh yeah, no problem. You know, have it in writing and text message. And now it's a year later, my favor is done. They got him out of the jam. And then I need the thing done to be fulfilled.
Right.
You know, like, I'm not going to do that. Like, why would I come and get paid? Like, do you remember when I, you know what I mean? Like, it's so frustrating, but then you got to play chess, right? Because if you threaten right away, it's not going to work. So I have a three-tier approach, right? Approach number one, nicer to trying to show the emotional side. Second thing, you know, offer a little bit of a carrot, even though I don't have to, just for the sake of that, so I don't disappoint people. And then third, full-blown, you know, full-blown. But it's so frustrating. Like, I always do what I say I'm going to do. It's like, is this thing my DNA? Because I don't know, like people down. Like, other people let me down, but I live by a code. And so very frustrating. And let me ask you, why do you think that in people? Let's talk about, you know, a lot of people are listening to this. They've been taking advantage. Or, you know, small scheme for people listening. You lend money to somebody and they say, I'm going to pay you back, and they don't. And then they have an excuse. And then they come back for you for more money.
More.
Right. And then say, this time they're going to pay, or they want more money so they can, so that you can recover part of the money, which is throwing, you know, good money at bad. That would be an equivalent story. We just have different stories at the highest level.
That's right.
Why do you think people are like that? Like, now that you understand people, or maybe we don't understand people, it's just, you know, why?
Well, so here's the thing. I don't know if we could ever fully understand other people, but in my old age-ish now, 44 years old, I now understand myself, and that's all I can do. And so.
What is yourself? Explain yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So
let's do Dr. Phil. Now tell me about your problem, son. Now, hey, listen, I have to admit that you're wearing a hat during an interview, so we couldn't put it on video. Next time, I'm bald. It don't matter. I got the number one weight loss program, and I'm fat and bald. I had Dr. Phil at my event. I did it right in front of him. He's like, I don't sound like that. I'm like, you do.
You sound exactly like that.
We were going back and forth. It was hilarious.
So, okay. So for me, my story starts, you know, where I grew up. And we can get into that later. But I come from very, very poor. Section 8, welfare, abuse, all that type of stuff. Why is that important? It's important because all I ever wanted to be was rich, and I didn't know that you could earn love in any other way than buying it. And so that set me up
You wanted love I just wanted my parents to be proud of me, which they never said. Yep. And then realized when I wasn't, and then I said, I'm going to get rich so they can say I'm proud. And I realized once I became rich, it just said I was lucky. And then they took credit for it. So it's very similar.
So
you say you wanted love. So you're saying, like, if I'm rich, I can buy whatever I want. And then people love me because I'm rich.
Right. And so then whenever somebody, and a perfect blend of that in what I would call in my early years, wealth guilt. I felt bad that I had so much and others had so little. And so what I started to do is every time somebody needed something, I would just pour money into them and solve all of their problems, family, friends, anyone that needed it, charities. And then the more I gave, the less they did. And the less they did, the lower they went. And then I gave them more. And then you get to a point eventually, and you've been there, where you have to stop because you realize you're damaging them. And then you become the monster, regardless of what you've done for them. And I lived in that cycle through my 20s and early 30s before, and I lost a lot of people going through that process. Now, not an exact parallel to business, but I believe that's where it started for me.
So when you made your first million, did that fill the void?
Nothing filled the void. I'm telling you, all the way through 2000, and I say this, I've said it many times, COVID saved my life in a lot of ways. 2019, I sold the gyms for a very, very large exit. I'd sold a few other companies. I'm sitting there looking at the bank, my bank account, more money than I thought I'd ever see in my life, maybe more than any one man should.
Then minus 13 million a few years later.
Well, 2 years. And legal fees and la, la, la.
Yeah.
I'm getting divorced. I'm sitting alone in COVID in a 13,000 square foot mansion. My garage is full with cars. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, I am miserable. Everything I spent the last 25 years thinking would fill this void in me, and it's as big as it ever was. And so I had two choices. I could continue down the path, which, by the way, this is not me saying don't pursue wealth. I always have, always will. That hasn't changed. But I at 44, I needed to start filling the hole in me that was built when I was a little kid. And so what I started to do was
kind of weird when you're 44 years old, though, right? Well, I mean, it's weird that same thing with me. Like, we talk about the past, like the impact that our parents have about us. Don't matter how successful you are, you know, if our parents were like from the day we were born, you're gonna make it. Don't do this, like whatever it takes. Don't listen to negativity. I believe in you. I think it's a very different experience than when you're 40, sure. you don't. So by the way, did when you got divorced, did it take half the money? Because obviously it sold the gym. So you half the wealth went away too.
So I've been divorced twice.
Jesus.
And
the second time you did the prenup, or you just decided to give more of your money, which by the way, funny story before you answer, when I met Donald Trump, first thing I met Donald Trump, right? This is like 10 years ago. I was like, and I'm like, Mr. Trump, what advice do you have for an entrepreneur? Like a dumb question. He goes, always sign a prenup. Always. I wouldn't be where I am. They would have taken half my money. I wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be talking to me now because they'd have all my money. Always sign a prenup. And then he walked away. First advice he ever said, and he walked away. I never forgot that.
Well, solid advice. Maybe I should have met him earlier. So my father will give you the answer my father gives, because it's actually pretty comical. He does it every chance he gets that we're out. He goes, my son, I'm so proud of him, which is something he didn't say to me until I was about 40, but it's always in jest. He said, my son has a very unique charity. And they go, oh, wow, what is it? He goes, well, let's hear it. Listen, it's very, really interesting. He finds women, marries them, and then divorces and gives away half his money.
Wow. Let's get, I mean, listen, we're going to do another show about the business component, but I just want to go to the personal. So do you have a lot of friends? And I'm talking about very close friends. And I'll explain why I'm asking this before, but I never have. Here's the funny thing too. I was thinking about it. And this is the interesting thing. I find that like I had a best friend and then I started doing business. And I realized that like, because if we're just talking, chatting, it's the same story. But until you see people do business, you then realize it's not what it is, right? And then you see like flaws and then lack of accountability and everything like that. And then I realized that people got close to me because it's a natural instinct of,
right?
Like, first of all, I like you, you like me. It's a natural progression of doing business.
Right.
But does it ruin the friendship at the end of the day? Because there's always different sets of goals and everything. But because it's like, I like to hang out with people I do business because I just don't like small talk. Right. Yep. And so maybe the problem, and then I got involved with somebody else. And then I realized it's like, they weren't who they were. And so like, I'm thoroughly, even though I know a lot of people, and if you ask everybody, everybody's my friend, but like,
right.
And most people don't understand the pressure as you understand to be at the top. So it's interesting. Why do you think you have no friends? Like the close friends that we talk about? Because maybe we'll make a deal. We do two things, right? We either decide, hey, you and I are going to be friends.
Yep.
We just decide not to do business, right? And by the way, we'd probably be unstoppable.
Right.
Right? Or we say, let's do business. Let's make tens of hundreds of millions. But then one of these days, we'll talk about each other all the time. And all of a sudden, stop talking about me. I'm talking about you. And everybody's wondering what happened to us.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because that's usually what happens, right? Is this like, because I used to share all the drama with everybody else. And then I realized that it's not good.
They don't really care.
They do care about the drama. Because people love other people's drama. Fair, but why do you think you don't have close friends? Great, because you have a great personality. You make money. You got nice stuff. You're personable.
It's not for lack of people, like you said. I'm surrounded by people that would say they are my friends, but if I'm having a bad day, I don't know that there are very many people, maybe on one hand, that I could ever really feel like, hey, I need to say this, and they'll be like, wow, you know, I really actually do feel bad. So yes, we're saying the same thing. So but for
that's
me,
why
when
I have coaches, though. I've had coaches to do that. I paid people.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So coming up, I always built my companies, at least initially, as a family. I always treated my people really well. I always
me too. I call my clients my family. So we have the same thing.
Here's the problem, I think. Not problem, because I'll never stop. But here's the junk that comes along with it, or at least for me came along with it. There did come a point where, because you're treating them like an equal, which they are not your equal in ownership. And at some point, they have this illusion that they deserve as much as you do.
Exactly.
And then what do? It falls apart. And again,
but here's the thing too, they have to understand, and this is, people are not equal. And I'm not saying that people have less money are not at our level, or just like, for example, if Elon Musk is here, we're not equal to Elon. There's a food chain. There's a food chain in the jungle. There's a food chain in the ocean. And there's a food chain in the business world, right? Elon Musk pops on this Zoom, both of us shut up and he talks. Because at the end of the day, right? So there is a food chain. And people, and I used to say that. Someone said this to me a long time ago. I was like, I was broke. And I never forgot this, right? So this guy, This guy, my partner, brings me to a house. The guy says $30 million house in Chicago. And my partner, my first partner, gives him a $300 bottle of wine. He goes, "Hey, honey, give this to our guests." And I remember saying to him, I'm like, "Why would you do that? It's stupid. It's $300. He goes, "You're broke, aren't you?" I'm like, and he goes, "If it's good enough for me to be given to me, it's good enough to my guests." And then he's like, "Well, clearly you don't understand how the world works." And I said the dumbest shit I remember saying to him. And he says, "I put on my pants the same way you do." And he responded, "Well, I put mine on a private plane this morning. You sleep on that man's couch." And it just, and by the way, like, that people think they're equal. Like, it's just saying, like, I'm equal. And there's a food chain in work, right? That the better people get tend to get paid more. There's a food chain in the sports world that people get, like, as you're saying, like, you know, and yeah, I've done that mistake.
Yeah. So I think that, I mean, that has always been a big problem for me. And you nailed it. You know, in this politically correct world that we now live in, where words hurt more than anything, we can't come out and say, but you absolutely nailed it.
If Steve Jobs and Bill Gates were like today, they wouldn't work. Like, Jobs and Gates are master yellers and putting down people. Now we live like, everybody's a butterfly. Everybody gets a trophy.
Which, by the way, if everybody wins, that means nobody won.
Well, Manana too, but nobody remembers a silver medalist and a bronze medalist, right? Nobody remembers who participated. Gold lasts forever. Like, you ever see a gold medalist? Like, it could be like 20 years from now. I won the gold, and they can still talk about it.
That's right.
Nobody said, "Ladies and gentlemen, silver medalist." Nobody cares. Like, about second. That's the point, right?
And that statement probably offends somebody right now. And honestly, I don't care.
Not people who watch the show.
Okay, good. Well, then the people
are all entrepreneur. But I hate losing more than I love winning. Like, I don't care about money, which is interesting to me. I was looking at your social media, what I can't stand. And, you know, the guy who I was sort of imitating a little bit, I like him. He's a nice guy, but he flashes a lot of stuff, right? And the guy that he likes and knows, which I cannot stand, the other guy in Florida, flashed the plane, the jets, and the helicopters. Now, I know a lot of very successful people.
Yep.
My philosophy is like, if Elon Musk brags about sleeping on an office couch, right?
Why are you bragging about
what you have? And the only reason you're bragging is so you can sell a course to someone. But the question would be like, how many of your clients have a jet? How many clients drive a car because they bought this? And I think it sends the wrong message. And like, for example, I've been gone for the last 2.5 weeks, literally, like, different city every day. And I'm like waking up here, this and that. This morning I posted, I've been up at 1 a.m., work nonstop. You know, I've been able to sleep since I got back. And people are like, "Oh my God, you're going to burn out." And you know how many people are messaging me that are super successful? And they're like, "Which one would you rather do business? The guy that's doing something every minute, different place, right, no stopping, or the person I'm at the beach and their sands? Like, why would I want to partner with someone who never works?" Right. Fair enough. So I think that's the point, right? Like successful people. That's why I resonated to you. I mean, you got a lot of broke people. Like, "Teach me for free. Let me take you out to lunch. Let me pick your brain." You know what I mean? You're like, my time is much more valuable than a sandwich, bro. If you don't pay attention. Like, if you don't pay. So what's your philosophy? You don't flash your stuff. You have a lot of stuff. You don't flash it. I don't flash it either. Why? What's your thought process about flashing? I saw one of your videos that slightly talked about this, but just in general, why don't you flash? And what do you think of the people who do flash?
Ooh, that's a dangerous question there. Okay, listen, I don't flash because I don't think that matters. I think most people that are doing it are doing it because they're either new money or they actually don't have any, because that's how I would have acted when I was 20 years old. I don't have courses to sell, so maybe that's a part of it. But in my DNA, the real value that I think I have is in my experiences. And so there are equal parts very successful people that follow me, but there is also a very large portion of young entrepreneurs who have absolutely nothing. And me talking about my expensive car or my $100 million company or my massive house, there's no value in that. All that does is make people feel like shit. So instead, I'd rather talk about the real stuff that I've gone through, some of my wins, more of my losses, the things I did wrong at 20 or 30, which the 20 and 30 at 20, I might not have listened either, but nobody was saying it. And so that's my approach. And I believe that the authenticity in that is the reason things have gone as fast as they have. Certainly not my good looks. So I think there's got to be something more.
By the way, money solves that problem, though. You can be ugly with a lot of money and get anybody you want. Let's calm down here, right? You know what I mean? You see those old guys with young women. Hey. They're like, money doesn't be happen. The money don't buy happiness. I said, trust me, that guy's happy. He's very happy.
I believe self-deprecation is a superpower. But anyway.
But is it partly too because you're, I didn't say you're addicted to the game, but like, for example, I live on a golf course. I could drive 375 yards, right? Which is phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
I realize I played three times this year because I like it, but I don't love it. Like, I love business. Like, you know, like that to me, figuring out problems and then going through the highs and lows of it, the struggle. If I'm struggling, I got my edge. If everything's too good, I'm too comfortable. Like, I feel like I need, for me, it's like the juice. And doing nothing and is boring to me. Like, it's like, so I don't know what, so are you the same? You have the same diseases as I do?
Oh, it is a disease, by the way. The question I hate the most is, what do you do for fun? Because I feel like I'm supposed to have this really cool answer.
I get that too. But you know why? Because it justifies people to say. But then I would argue, I'm looking behind your desk. You have like every Hall of Fame thing. You know, I travel around the world. I go any concerts I want. I mean, I just told you I spent time with Messi and Brady. So in theory, I work a lot. I was at Red Bull Racing 2 weeks ago at their headquarters where I spoke with all the cars, and I got a private tour of the factory with my clients. Like, it was like cool. Like, to me, I was there for work, but it was fun. So, to me, going to the beach and just doing there that's boring to me.
It's absolutely boring. And it's still funny that both of us hate that question when we clearly do things that are fun.
You have to justify that because they make you feel bad, like you don't have any fun.
Well, and not only that, but what did I do for fun? The first thing that pops to my head is a deal that I just did or a really savvy email that the reader doesn't even quite know that I just told him he's a piece of shit, but he'll figure it out in 2 months and thank me.
Oh, I'm straight to the point. I have no problem. I'm probably the most direct person.
It sounds like you are in stages, which I am too. I'm a bit of a velvet hammer until I have to be a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I'm just like, because I was coached like that. George Ross, who was the right-hand man of Donald Trump, 47 years apprentice judge, 95 years old, is going to be 96. He's been my coach for 13 years. And he says, that's what he told Donald, right? So whether Donald took his advice or not. And that's why he coached me. And I used to argue all the time. He's like, if you know everything, then why do you need my coaching? And by the way, he embarrassed me a couple of times in front of clients because I acted like an asshole. And he called me out. And I only call people who lie. You know what I mean? Like if I catch people in a lie, and what happens, there's two types of people, right? There's people who lie, who then trail seven lies to cover the lie, which I'll catch them because I'll ask seven different questions.
Yep.
And then not eventually, on the spot, you can tell. Like, I'm really good at reading body language. And then there's left brainers where you could just tell, like, they're kind of more honest on that as well. But I think, but we're in a different space, right? Because I'm also on stages, I'm huge stages and regard as one of, you know, like, that's just I'm a no BS. So on one hand, it's what people love and why people buy and do business with me. But it's also the other part where if everyone believes in the freedom of speech, or they're like, give me the truth as long as I agree with them. Like, if people say, right? Like, it's just, but here's the thing, if your idea is not good, I'm not going to tell you. Like, you're going to be a manifester or essential oils, and you're going to make millions of dollars, and you're going to have a ClickFunnel website. Like, it's stupid. Like, it's not going to happen. Or I'm going to have a store on Amazon, and it doesn't work that way. Or you want to be a speaker and tell your story. Nobody cares about your story. What people care is, what are you going to do for me? Like, speaking is, what problem am I solving for you? I will learn something I will do for me. Because your story, like, people don't want to buy things from people that, like, have sad stories, right? Because buyers are not buyers. And so people don't understand that. And so I think people need to make it, then speak about it. But people want to speak now before they get something. Nobody gives me, like, I'm broke. Here are five things that help my brokenness.
Yes. Oh my God. You're preaching to the choir. And honestly, it's one of the reasons that I got into social media, because honestly, you know, a year and a half ago, I had 7 followers on Instagram, and I only had it because I was following my 2 teenage daughters. Right. And then, you know, I was consulting with some people that we would all consider very, very well known. And they were regurgitating the things that I said and making millions of dollars. They don't even really understand what they're talking about. And so I decided to turn the camera around.
Well, first of all, I have another Zoom, but we're definitely going to do part two on this as well.
Yeah,
sure. I think this is probably, out of all the interviews we've talked about things you've probably never talked about, correct? I mean,
I love it too. I love it.
I knew right away. I knew right away. I saw your video, and then we messaged back and forth. Like I yeah. know.
Agreed.
Like when I told you about Adam Coffee, like I saw, like I yeah. knew. Like you yeah. know, you know right away. Like
it's, of course you do. Yep.
Yeah. And first of all, you could tell by people's stories if they're full of shit. Like that story Agreed. You said, that's like a rich people problems. And I've had the same thing, right? It's like broke people right. like, what is my avatar? My mission statement, my purpose. I'm like,
okay.
I'm still talking about yeah. your purpose 5 years later, bro. You're in trouble. And the problem is that I think the worst thing about social media is that they make it seem like, first of all, Adam Coffee said this, there's 10,000 nine-figure people in the world, right? 10,000,
yep.
right? And you and I are in that category, right? On Instagram, there's 25 million. So, that's the point. Everybody's a nine figure. Everybody's a billionaire. There's 3,000, but somehow everybody's a billionaire.
Everyone's a billionaire. Yep.
And by the way, then there are billionaires who don't admit they're billionaires because they don't want the IRS, the feds, and everyone up there.
That's right. So,
yeah. So by the way, we're going to have to do a part two of business for sure. That is Derek Fay. Check him out on Instagram. Put the link in the comment to all his stuff as well. But this is as real as it comes in terms of business as well. I'll give you the final word because this was a phenomenal interview.
Honestly, this was one of the more enjoyable interviews because I actually think this is the stuff that makes a difference. And I don't care what level of entrepreneurship you are.
I don't care if anybody listens. This could have been a great conversation one-on-one. We should probably just record all our conversation and that would be a right. show in itself. Like and if nobody was listening and I didn't release this, it was still right. enjoyable.
It was still enjoyable.
But it probably more enjoyable because this wasn't an interview. It was a conversation. That's the difference about this.
That's the difference. And that's what happens when two like-minded individuals get together. And I think that's the stuff that people want to hear. And so
I was secretly hoping you said you had no friends. Because I was like, come on. Yes.
Yes.
Normal.
I'm not alone.
I was going to tell my CEO, Francie, I'm normal. I am normal. I'm normal. Like I was like this. Come on, no friends. You know what I mean? I was like, boom.
Yeah. Well, we're not normal, but it's normal for us.
Hey, those who are crazy enough to change the world are usually the ones who do as well. And hopefully, people learned a lot. Check them out. With tons of great videos there. But we will do part 2, 3, 4, 5, 12, 10.
Love it.
We'll probably do it all. And if you could do me a favor, share this interview, like, comment, share. If no one listens to this interview and I don't release it, then it'll be just weird that I told people to like, comment, share in our conversation because it's ingrained in me. But more importantly, actually now that I'm going to be posting it today. That's how good this video was. I have like 29 that are in the queue and this is going straight to the top, man. This is going straight to the top. So appreciate you, brother. And that's it. I promise you everybody, we'll do a proper full business debrief, but this is real business, real problems.
Yeah.
And more importantly, if you don't like it, we liked it. And yes. And then we'll update us on our friendship plan on the next one. We'll have to come up with and let the audience vote on whether or not, should we be friends? Should we do business? Should we do both? You know what I mean? But yeah, we'll let the audience dictate what we do because it's much more fun to be told by other people. We'll see everybody next time on the next show. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Thanks, brother.